All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at PFL 3, which transpires on April the 14th as part of the 2023 regular season. And a very compelling fight set to go down as Haush Manfio and Alex Martinez get out there to test skills. And always good getting to have Alex on the show before these big fights. How's everything going there, man?
Yeah, man, hey, been really good. So excited for, camp is almost done. So, that's always the best part. Now I'm just focusing on the little details and getting ready to head out.
For sure, man. And there's a lot to, talk about specifically with this fight. But one of the first questions I wanted to touch on, because I noticed you had quite the move with the family a little bit ago. How's the move to Montreal been treating you?
Man, I'll be honest to you, it's been really, really tough. The move, just out of nowhere it wasn't out of nowhere, but the whole thing just to grab everything from home and to go all the other side of Canada. It's been really tough, but at the same time, I think it was a move that had to be done in order for me to grow as a fighter and also just as man in life. And man, right now, I think life is really good. I'm enjoying my camp a lot. I'm having a really good time in training. So, it was a great move.
So from what I'm hearing, it seems like maybe the move was motivated by maybe like a bit of a switch in gyms and also like a bit of a change of scenery, perhaps. Like, can you, get into the specifics of why the Montreal move transpired?
Well, one of the reasons mainly was just the need for higher training when it comes down to things. Like, don't get me wrong, I had great training in Vegas and great coaches too. But the relationship that I built over the years with Peter Sahabi and the team here in TriStar has just been, one that always propelled my career with them. Like I said, I went 8-0 with them. And after I stepped away from that, it's almost like, I stopped focusing on what I'm good at and started focusing on other things. So after my last loss, I realized that it's probably time to go back to what got me my success, right? So which was, the team that I started with, and that's the Canadian team, my team back home in Grand Prairie, and also my team in Montreal. So I was like, it's time to go back to where I love training, and, that's, for me, that's Montreal, in all honesty. Nothing, like I said, nothing to take away from any other camps. Like, every single camp is great. It's just that, as a fighter, you have to find the place for you to grow as a fighter and a person in order to go there and perform the way you want to perform.
So you'd been thinking about this for a while before you pulled the trigger on it. Like, I know you were saying it was something that was, like, kind of last minute, but also kind of not. Like, it seems like something you've been at least thinking of for a little bit.
Yeah, it's always been in the back of my head. I knew that I will always come back to Montreal. Like, I already knew that from the beginning of when I was already training in the U.S. I already knew that in time I will always go back to Montreal. I didn't know when that was going to happen. And then after last year, everything happened, and kind of need a little bit more, ground to cover for the level that I'm in. I was like, I think now is the time to go back to planned to be a long time ago already. Like I said, this was a plan that I always had in my mind, but I couldn't get it done because of COVID and things like that. As we all know, COVID kind of put the MMA in Canada down really fast, and at the time I couldn't make that move in Montreal, And now that everything is clear, everything is good to go in Canada when it comes down to MMA, in Montreal, MMA against Flourish, and I was okay, it's time to go back. So it's a lot of things have to line up, but I'm really happy that I'm here doing my camp, so yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it just seems like a great time of growth in general. Like, I was seeing a relatively recent post you had there where you were saying, like, the part of the craft that you were, especially getting refined was the weight cut, and especially in the context of, like a PFL season. Like you said in the post there, it's like you were saying 155 has never been this easy and everything like that. And just the frequency of, how much one would have to cut weight in the PFL circuit, I imagine would be, difficult to navigate, at least early on, just the rate of activity. So, like, what have you, added to your preparations that have made those weight cuts in the context of, like, a regular PFL season so much easier?
Yeah, and that's the thing about the PFL, you know, when you come in the PFL and if you're a beginner, like when I came into the PFL, I was a beginner as a fighter, but I was a little bit of a fresh blood when it comes down to all these other guys that are in the PFL. You know, they already been around big competition. For me, that was my first very big competition besides Brave. But even in Brave, you know, these guys were also like me, were coming up, you know, and building themselves. When I came to PFL, I already came to fighters that were already built. They already went through the fights that made their career. Where for me, I was like, man, you know, now I'm stuck with all these experienced fighters that already kind of like did their deeds and, you know, done their dues. So for me, it was like, okay, now I need to figure it out faster. I need to figure out how to cut weight properly. I need to figure it out how to mentally be sharp at this level. So everything kind of just got push harder. So, you know, honestly, a lot of fighters, I believe, would have just dropped out of the tournament and not doing really good, where for me, I kind of flourished at the same time. Yes, I took some losses, but I think in my career, when it comes down to experience-wise, it just helped me a lot. So I'm very thankful. Like I said, you know, I would have loved to keep my own, but at the same time, it's almost like I time travel a little bit, I think, you know, and especially still being young, I've been 28 right now, turning 29 this year. I'm still not in my full prime, so I'm really excited for what's ahead for me. And like I said, PFL is a perfect place to grow as a fighter.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of a curious thing that you just said. I mean, it is very much a grueling cycle for a lot of guys. I guess I'm wondering how much of, I mean, obviously you're an experienced PFL guy now. You've been in there for a good while now and are getting, you know, obviously more accustomed to it, but like how much did, you know, that IMAF circuit almost kind of prepare you for it? Cause that's even in tighter proximity in terms of like where the dates are for some of those fights. So like how much did that, you know, benefit, you know, this PFL framework later, if at all?
Yeah. I mean, the IMAF, that is something that do compare a lot to it actually in a way, but at the same time, you know, the IMAFs have done all in a week. And the fights are very, well, they're amateur, right? So the level is not even close to what we're in right now.
Yeah.
Where PFL is pretty much the same thing in a way, but expanded throughout the year. Since about a week, it's now expanded to a year. And you have the best, you know, fighters in the world outside of the UFC coming into the in the PFL. And I would say, you know, some of these guys in the PFL are probably right there, top five, you know, fighting for that top five in the world ranking spot. So it's a really tough format. And not only that, but just to get to go back to back to back nonstop. If you have injuries, it doesn't matter. You have to fight in 8 weeks. You know, it, like I said, last year, I think a lot of us were mostly injured throughout our seasons, but we still showed up every single time to compete and fight to our fullest potential. And that's really what separates PFL to these other promotions, is that the format is really heavy. It's like I said, you know, I don't think I would have ever really go and consult a nutritionist unless if it wasn't for the PFL, because I had to wake up so many times within a year that I actually had to figure it out how to walk as light as possible and to be able to make weight as proper as possible so I can do it multiple times a year. Like I said, last year, that was one of the big issues that I had in my career was weight cutting. I started the first weight cut, was no problem. The second weight cut, I felt it a little bit, and the third weight cut was just really heavy. So then right after that, when I got the other one, I asked my manager if he can hook me up with a good nutritionist. He hooked me up with Tyler Minton, and we got my weight train, and that gave me a second breather almost to no, I understand that, you know, I can keep making 155 with no problem, no issues at all, still have a good life in the division, which is amazing, right? I thought I had to move up weight class to 170, but like I said, with all this new knowledge that I had to, that I was forced to learn, it really helped out. So to be honest, I'm just really excited to see how everything will play out. I'm really excited for next week. We're almost there. My weight is on point. It's the best that it has ever been. You know, weight cutting won't be an issue this time. And yeah, man, so I'm just really excited to see how that will translate now into performance-wise. Like I said, I have a good team around me, a good set of people, and yeah, I'm excited, man.
Yeah, definitely getting that sense, and I'm excited to ask a few questions about the next one. But just, you know, since I brought it up, I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't get some feedback from you on it or what your viewpoint might be. I was seeing a story more so like early in March talking about how IMAF is not necessarily in a good place, I guess, like budget-wise. Like, I think it was saying that they, I guess, burned through the yearly budget like already up until that juncture, and you know, several other issues and stuff like that. Kind of like an under the radar sort of story, even though I think the IMAF is doing great things, has done great things. I'm curious if you know caught wind of that story and what your thoughts might be, just being that you came out of that circuit.
Sorry, you cut out there just a little bit at the end there.
Oh, just curious if you'd caught wind of that story about what's happening with IMAF and just your thoughts, being that you came from that circuit.
Like I said, I haven't really followed IMAF much since I left, you know. I'm seeing a lot of amateur. It's funny because now, you know, here being Tri-State, I'm seeing a lot of people from other countries that come from the IMAF and compete, come here. But to be honest, I haven't been following much of the IMAF competition. I do know that a lot of IMAF world champions are now doing really well, like that Mokhaev, Mohamed Mokhaev, I believe is his name. He's doing really good in the UFC right now, and he was a world champion in the IMAF. I think IMAF is a great platform for amateurs to build themselves in order to go to pro. But at the same time, you know, it is a very heavy format that I'm not sure every single amateur must go through in order to go pro, because I do believe that I could have went pro a little bit earlier for my career in order to build a little more experience on the high level. But I mean, you know, everybody has to experience that on their own, you know. Some people need a lot of competition in order to do really well at the high level. Other people don't need that much competition in order to excel at their career, because, you know, they probably need to take care more of their health, their body health, mind health, instead of just competing all the time and getting hurt, right? So that's something that every single athlete has to find out for their own. And like I said, I don't know. I think IMA for me was a positive experience. You know, it gave me a lot of great experience in order to translate that into my professional career. And not only the experience, but also just I got to see what I'm made of too, right? Like I said, you know, I had to fight 4 to 5 times within 1 week. And, you know, not everybody can do that. So when you go through that, it kind of gives you a little bit, a different chip on your shoulder in a way, almost like a little bit of an edge psychologically, that you know that you can do it. So I think IMAF is a great, I don't know much about what's going on, in all honesty, so I cannot comment on that.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely fair, but we're talking about all the excitement with PFL and everything, and also had mentioned that you have that familiarity on the circuit. Like, I feel like as long as you've, you know, been involved with PFL, it just seems to, like, you know, keep growing and growing, like the organization doing great things. And then also relatively recently, the advent of like their super fight division and, you know, bringing in Jake Paul, and just seems like they're always getting these like big free agent individuals and stuff like that. Like, can you speak to, I guess, that current landscape in PFL? Like, are you kind of feeling that growth and the additional attention and stuff like that?
Well, I think PFL is doing their thing, you know. Like, they definitely are going out of their way to try to grow their self-promoting, like you said, you know, talking about Jake Paul and stuff like that. But for me personally, in my career, I haven't seen that kind of trickling over into my career yet, you know. Like, I haven't seen really much of the exposure from them, like, especially being last year's, you know, beating their main event guy and one of their favorites. I still haven't felt that much love. But at the same time, man, I also know that I have to make my way through this, you know. I'm still growing as a fighter, so I have to go then and cement myself as a fighter. But, you know, yeah, PFL is doing their thing. They are growing really fast. I just have to make sure I go and do my job, so then all that fame can trickle into my career. So that's more of a me thing than PFL doing it for me. So PFL is not going to do anything for me unless I do it for myself. And that's really what it comes down to, right? So I'm not here to say, hey, why don't you guys do this? Why don't you guys do that for me? Where what it really comes down to is, like, I have to do something for myself. And everybody should do that, you know. Like, even in the UFC, you see guys in the UFC all the time. There are fighters who are get backed up by the promotion big time. But at the same time, that's something that the fighters themselves make it happen for themselves, right? So that's something that I need to be working a little more right now for myself. And I do believe PFL is growing really fast. I think it's the fastest growing MMA promotion in North America, for sure. And I think Sony will take over in the world, because right now they also have a little bit of seats going on in Europe, and then they're trying to expand onto South America. And who knows, eventually, probably in Asia as well, right? So, yeah, man, I think they have all the potential to become one of the best promotions in the world for sure. But, you know, that still takes time, right?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. And in talking about, I guess, building your name and continuing to, you know, get that awareness, like, how much do you think getting your desired outcome against someone like Haush Manfio would serve that, just being that he's, like, a previous champion in the 2021 season? Like, how much would, I guess, an emphatic win over someone like that serve in, you know, drawing that notoriety to what you're doing, you think? I feel like that would be a good one for the resume.
Definitely, man. Every single fight counts, you know. Like, if you go out there thinking that a fight won't put a damper on your career or won't make you a superstar, then you're, you know, this sport, you can become the best in the world in a day almost. Not really, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it only takes one or two wins and you're on top of the world. It only takes one loss and you're, you know, on the bottom of the barrel. So that's a beautiful thing about MMA. One win can change your whole life, right? That's, you know, like, unlike boxing, for example, you know, in boxing, you can go undefeated 20-0, nobody knows who you are, you haven't done much, you lose one and you're out of the radar. Then you have to win a couple more again in order to get back into the radar. When in MMA, you know, all it takes is just to beat that right name at the right time, and you're on top of the world. So, of course, Haush Manfio is the name that I'm aiming at right now. He's an ex-champion, he's going to be great for the resume. But yeah, man, I'm, you know, every single fight counts, every single fight matters, and every win will definitely grow your resume. So for me, I'm not seeing this as a... this is to better my life, to better my life for my family and myself. And yeah, I'm really excited, man. Like I said, you know, it's the sky's the limit, right?
Yeah, I mean, it just really shows how interesting PFL's structure can be, too, just in as far as, like, both of you are kind of looking to, you know, rebound from setbacks against Olivier Aubin Mercier. But, I mean, he was the guy that went on to become the champion last year, obviously. Just really speaks to the depth of 155 and really the parity within the division and everything like that. Just how competitive a lot of these different fights are, large in part. Can you, I guess, speak to that? Like, I would think that that's helped, you know, level up your skill and everything like that, because I think you've had a lot of those, you know, great showings already, guys like Clay Collard and Stevie Ray and stuff like that. Like, how much has the, I guess, depth and competitiveness within PFL benefited your growth as a fighter?
Man, it's like I told you before, the experience that these guys bring are just in another level, right? These guys have already been around with the big names, they perform with the big names, and for me, in order to go and fight these guys, It just tells me how good I am in my career. It's almost like a good leverage to understand and know where I am at in my career. Not just anybody's going to get a chance to fight against Clay Collard or Stevie Ray, right? And then to have that chance and to go and actually capitalize on it, that's even bigger for your career, right? So that just goes to show the future that I have for my career. And I'm truly excited, man, you know, and even Olivia, I fought him against last year. That's a man that I always look up to. He's a fighter that I always, when he came to Tyson for the first time, you know, like, he was already a professional in the UFC, and that was just when I was starting my professional career in MMA. And then to get a chance to go and fight against somebody like that, to be on that competition level, these are just parameters that a lot of people don't realize, but me as a professional fighter and being around long enough, understand. And of course, now getting to get the victories over big names like Clay Collard, Stevie Ray, you know, these are just something that a lot of people don't realize. But I know and I understand what I've done. And like I said, these are experienced fighters. So for me to get that, it's just a big confident build, right? Like a big confident boost for me. So I'm truly excited for what's ahead for my career. I know I still have long ways to go. Many years in me still, because I'm still really young and it's so fresh. So I'm really excited for what's ahead. Like I said, right now, next week, April 14th, Haush Manfio is on my mind, and that's all it is, man.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you have so much upside, I feel like. I mean, not to, you know, say it about any of the other guys, and there's also, like, younger contenders in the division too, but you touched on something interesting because there are certain guys who have already, like, quote unquote, built up that, I guess, name value and, you know, cachet and stuff like that. Like, I feel like it's just kind of like a tip of the iceberg kind of situation with you, and you seem quite excited about it and, you know, cognizant of that, which is great. But I wanted to touch on a post I saw a little bit ago. I feel like I'd, you know, be remiss if I didn't. Like, I already knew you had a bit of a fighting family, and as far as, like, I know your dad trains and stuff like that, but I saw your mom actually got out there and had the debut at 51 years old, no less, and, I mean, quite inspiring, obviously. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, man, it's crazy, you know, like, people tell me all the time about it, say, hey, your mom is fighting, that is crazy, and I told him, I know, man, it is crazy. Like, I remember she talked about it last year. Funny enough, my dad is right beside me here. I just picked him up from the airport, so, and, but last year, I remember my mom talking about she wanting to compete in kickboxing, and I was like, okay, well, cool. But I really didn't think much of it because she's still doing, like, her ultramarathons and stuff. So you cannot do two hard sports like that. You cannot do ultramarathon and fight at the same time. It's just too much. I mean, you got guys like Nate Diaz, but for them, it's more of a hobby to do an ultramarathon or triathlons and stuff. Well, for my mom, it was actually her... her hobby as a, almost like as an amateur athlete, right? She was really pursuing that. So when she did tell me she wanted to do kickboxing full contact, I was just kind of like, okay, cool. Well, you know, all the best to you type of thing. But I really didn't think much of it, in all honesty. It wasn't until last year she actually signed up the contract and stuck to it and showed up in the ring, you know, because you hear a lot of people talking about wanting to fight, but it never goes through. And her stepping into the ring, I was like, damn, she's actually for real. She wants to fight. And she made her debut. I think that was actually just this year, to be honest. It wasn't last year. It felt like last year, but it's just this year. She made her debut. And then right after that, she went on to grab another fight. And she just competed again this weekend. So like, she's really into it, which for me, I still think it's a little bit wild because, I mean, it's my sweet mom. She's 51 years old and, you know, she's doing the same thing that I'm doing, right?
Yeah, I get the set of feelings and stuff like that. And yeah, just love to see it. Like I said, the fighting family dynamic. I guess like one of the last questions I had while I have you, like we were talking before about like more so the resume of Haush Manfio and kind of what he's done. But I guess in terms of like the X's and O's of what he does in the cage, like what are some of Haush Manfio's better stylistic attributes from what you can tell?
Well, he's we see he became a champion. Nobody just becomes a champion. So, you know, he definitely has a big attribute, a big heart. I know he'll fight till the end. He never quit. That's another big attribute as well. So, it's, you know, it's a great matchup, I think. You know, I love this matchup. I think stylistically, it benefits me in a way just because of my long range and my movement. But at the same time, man, you know, he was a champion for a reason. And you have to respect that. But at the same time, fight day comes around, you know, it's a fight. You know, there's no respecting the champion. We're bringing the fight to the champion, right? So it's mine to take that fight. And I'm really excited. You know, like I said, I'm really excited for this match. I'm excited to see how everything plays out, everything that I've been working on. I'm excited to see how the diet, the nutrition, and all the stuff plays out. The hard work that I've been putting on, the move. I'm just truly excited to see how this challenge plays on. And like I said, you know, I'm not looking down on Manfio, but at the same time, I do know that I have everything it takes in order to defeat him. Now I just have to go there, focus, enjoy the moment, and capitalize on it.
Yeah, I mean, well said, man. And just in being mindful of your time, like I was kind of saying earlier, it's always great getting to, you know, talk to you and everything, but just curious if there's any, like, final parting thought you might want to add as we're kind of wrapping up here, Alex.
Yeah, man, well, make sure you tune in on April 14, ESPN Plus, PFL 3, so I'm really excited. I'm pretty sure I'll be on the main card. I don't know if I'm the one opening the card, but I do believe I'm the one opening the card. And yeah, man, just make sure you tune in, watch, and
Yeah, I mean, definitely one of the more compelling matchups. They can make it lightweight. Definitely was excited when I saw, you know, the poster and everything with you and Haush Manfio come out and just the general announcement and everything. So it's always great getting to talk to you ahead of these fights, man. Thanks so much for coming on and giving great insights. And just also, you have a good rest of your day too, man.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Thank you for calling, eh?